Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just like the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFORadio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Lockie, and Lockie had a very interesting encounter with some type of humanoid creature back in 2014. Lockie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you on here, Lockie, because these types of encounters don't go past my desk every day. I think I would have had maybe 4 or 5 stories like this on the podcast, but yours is really, really unique. So I knew I just had to get you on. Mate, can you walk us through what happened in this encounter and when it all started for you?
Yeah, sure. So it was June of 2014, and we just moved into a new place up in Flags Uphill in South Australia. And I reckon we'd probably been there 3 months, but you know, we're just kind of getting used to the place. And I'd set up some fairy lights at the back, because you know, new garden, it's exciting, and you know, so I always kept the blinds open in the dining room. So this particular night, I put my 4-month-old daughter down, and her bedroom was right at the end of the hall. Now, when you're in a room and you're looking out the doorway, you can see straight down the hall, out into the dining room, and then out into the garden, and you can see the fairy lights, you know. So she was one of those kids also that kind of would wake up routinely throughout the night, like 11, 3, 5. So nothing out of the ordinary to kind of wake up at those times. So this particular night, you know, hear her crying, roll out of bed and kind of just walk into her room. And now her room was right next to ours. So if you turn left, you're in the hall, you turn right, you're in her room. And she had a little orange SpongeBob light that kind of provided enough light to shine down the hall and a little bit into the dining room. So I walk into her room and I pick her up. And, you know, she was a little bit more restless than usual, but, you know, this is one of those kids that's really hard in the beginning. So I pick her up and I turn around and go to walk back into our room. And I kind of briefly look up, and at the very end of the hallway, there's this roughly 4-foot-tall, 3-fingered, browny yellow creature standing there. And like, if you can imagine that I just walked around the corner and you hadn't known that I was there, and you kind of get startled, and you do that stance where you're like, oh, well, that's what this thing kind of appeared to do. So its arms were a little bit flared, and there was enough light down the hall to kind of illuminate it a little bit. The only thing I couldn't see was its eyes. It was like this black shadow over its eyes. But to describe it a little bit, the reason why I describe it as a bug-like humanoid is because, you know, when you look at bugs and they've got that brown sheen to them, and you can tell that their skin is like hard, and it was, you know, I'm standing there, and I've got my child in my arms, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I see this thing, and I'm just, holy shit, man. Like, I just, you know, they say there's flight or fright, and I just froze. There was nothing. Like, I just couldn't move. Like, just thinking about it, like, it gives me tingles. All my hair stand up on my body, just because it was just so frightening seeing this thing standing in your house at 3 a.m. So about 15 seconds of the standoff happens, and I'm kind of just scanning it, like, full up and down, like, looking at its hands, like, you know, its arms are too long, and it's got these big, knobbly kind of, like, fingers that just don't seem right. So I'm at this point in time, I'm kind of going through a, you know, it's 3 a.m. Maybe I'm seeing things like this doesn't seem right. Like, you know, and then it just starts to fade away. And I know it starts to fade away. It's almost like it just dissolves, because I can see the lights from the garden outside kind of just shine through. And after a few seconds, it's gone. And, you know, at this point, I'm really shaken up. I kind of trundle into my bedroom, and I immediately flick the light on, and I turn to my at the time fiance, like, hey, love, I'm just going to turn the lights on. And I put our daughter down in our bed. And so, like, this is the full, like, you know, room light, so they're quite bright. And she kind of turns over, grunts, and goes, yeah, no worries. So I jump into bed, and I try and get some sleep, but, like, you know, I've just seen something in the hallway, and there's no forgetting it. It's kind of like, well, it just disappeared. It hasn't left the house. It's just disappeared. It's got to be somewhere. So I'm kind of just laying with the covers pulled up to my, like, over my nose, kind of just creeping over. And, you know, it didn't appear from what I know, throughout the night. And it wasn't till the next morning, where my partner and I would go out the back, and we'd have our morning coffee before we'd go off to work. And I started to explain to her, like, oh, you know, sorry about turning the lights on last night. She was like, yeah, no, that's fine. And, you know, I told her, like, I actually saw something in the hallway, and described it to her, and she kind of just went white and froze. And I'm like, oh, what's the matter? And she's like, I saw that exact same thing standing in our doorway at about 12 o'clock last night. And, like, I just, my heart sank. And it was just, you know, to know that someone else had seen it was just terrifying, because it's one thing for me to kind of, like, go through the process of, no, you know, maybe I'm seeing things, you know, maybe my, like, I'm in that kind of dreamlike state where my dreams are being projected out. Like, I'm not sure, but for her to describe this thing and go into a little bit more detail than even what I had kind of conveyed to her. It was a little bit terrifying. You know, she was describing the three ridges on its head, its triangular face. Like, it was a very kind of sharp triangular face, this thing. Like, so what I could almost categorize it as a gray-like alien, but the fact that it had this yellow, hard kind of exterior skin kind of almost gave me the idea that it was an exoskeleton. But after that, both of us were kind of completely shaken, you know? We were, lights are every time you go in the room, doesn't matter if it's 6 o'clock and it's just getting dark or, you know, there's some light on. And I think for about 2 months there, we slept with the whole light on just to kind of know. But yeah, it was probably one of the most terrifying moments of my life. And even just to retell the story, it's just completely, it just scares me every time, because that's something I can't explain. I have spent some time researching it, so I do have a potential idea of what it could have been, but you know, to this day, it's 15 of the longest seconds that I probably experienced, and I've spent close to 7 years trying to find out and what this thing is. You know, gone through all of them, but. Yeah, it's just one of those things that I don't think I'll ever be able to explain, no matter how much information I have.
Yeah, that is a genuine, terrifying encounter, because to see this creature that you don't know what it is, and it's inside your house, and you have your child in your arms, that is, you don't really get in a much more vulnerable state than that right there.
No, you don't, because, you know, I'm holding her and you still have to support the head at kind of that age. So if this thing had come forward, I wouldn't have been able to do anything. You know, it's lucky that it was kind of just as scared as I was. You know, it was almost like, oh, you can see me. And then it just kind of dissipated. But to have that realization that I'm completely helpless in this situation, and you know, potentially so is she. Like, one has to ask the question, what was it doing there in the first place? And was it in her room? What was that the reason that she was that little bit more restless? You know, I've scanned the whole night about a million times trying to go, what was actually going on? You know, why was it here? And particularly, you know, why was it in my house? Like, the house was in a heavily suburban area, so it could have picked any other house. You know, was it a ghost? Was it a tulpa? Was it a djinn? Like, I have no idea what it could be. But the question remains, what was it doing in my house?
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question for, I guess, anyone who encounters the unknown, because I don't think there's any rhyme or reason when it comes to this type of stuff. It's just either the right place or the wrong place, depending on your encounter at the wrong time, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like if it had been something there and doing something sinister, like we know with most kind of paranormal encounters, there sometimes can be screen memories put up. So I'm always kind of on the edge of potentially going for, hypnosis regression to try and find out if anything actually happened that night that I just can't remember. But till I find someone that kind of fits the description that could potentially do that, that seems legit, I think it's just off the table till then.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to be so careful about the person that you go to, because you're putting so much trust into that person, because you just don't know what they can plant into your mind as well.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I found. You know, if you go in with the idea and you let them know that, oh, hey, I've had this encounter, they can almost just, from what I've read, is put that actual encounter into your mind and make it seem real.
Yeah.
Which is concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would always express caution when it comes to that type of, I guess, therapy when it comes to these types of encounters. But Lockie, I got to ask you, what was going through your mind when you saw this thing there? Because you're holding your daughter, you know, you're frozen in time. This thing is kind of frozen itself because it's like, oh shit, I've been spotted here. What goes through someone's mind when that happens?
Well, if you're excuse my French, it was kind of along the lines of, what the fuck is that? Because, you know, there's nothing to really describe it. It was just pure, you know, we all kind of wish to have these kind of encounters. And I was one of them. You know, I'd love to see a ghost. I'd love to see, you know, a UFO and et cetera, et cetera. But when you walk around the corner and you're confronted with something like this, you know, nothing prepares you for it, because how you think it's going to look, how you think the experience is going to feel, like it's honestly terrifying. Like I don't know if I would want to have another experience like that, because the entire feeling around it was, I felt violated, and especially being in my own home and, you know, this thing being in it when I'm asleep and everyone else is asleep is startling.
Yeah, I can completely understand that would be the feeling that you would have there. You know, that's how a lot of people feel when they have a break-in happen to them, because that's just how a lot of people process those types of things. And but for you to see this thing that's on essentially a completely other level, the way your mind must have been just turning the gears, it would have been kind of world shattering.
Yeah, well, you know, I was like, I'd kind of always known that there were things that we didn't understand. You know, after all, we are experiencing life just through our five senses. So there is a potential completely reality that we're missing, which, you know, I'm sure you would know, like, that things definitely exist in. I was close enough to see the joins between its hands and its forearms, like where it kind of would bend its limbs. So that's how close I got to this thing, and to see something that close, it's almost sickening. Like, and like, if these guys are listening, I'm sorry, but like, don't rock up at 3 a.m. in my house.
Yeah, that's a fair point, little weird creatures. So this thing is that close that you can kind of see these extreme details on it. What's really interesting is that you couldn't see the eyes, but something else that you said there, that this thing looked like it had an exoskeleton, because that was what came to mind for me when you're explaining what you're seeing, because it sounded exactly like an exoskeleton on this creature.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was saying before, it just had that polished kind of look. You know, when you see a bug, like, you know, an ant kind of out in the garden, and you look at it and it's got that kind of reflective kind of look to it. And that the SpongeBob light kind of gave it enough light to kind of provide that, which was, you know, it kind of threw the oh, this is a grey alien or, you know, something else, completely out the window in my mind, kind of scan what it was. So, you know, being confronted by this thing, it's like, well, I have no idea where you even fall in the category of what you are, to how to assess this situation. But yeah, like, it's very, the sheen and the brownness and the yellowness could have come from the SpongeBob light, because it was yellow, the little light. So its true color, I'm a little bit unsure of, but to me in that moment, it seemed like a browny yellow kind of being.
Yeah. And I totally get that, because when you're in the dark, it doesn't take a lot of, I guess, influence from a colored light to make things look differently. So I really do appreciate the detail that you're going into from what you saw at that point of time, because, you know, these are the details that really can make a difference between, you know, your encounter matching up to someone else's. And who knows, you may just find someone else who's encountered something like this and find some common ground and, you know, maybe find out a little bit more about what you saw.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, another, I think I mentioned it earlier, but another feature of this thing, it kind of had these three ridges across its head, which almost like if you were to draw a W and then, like, use that as the head and then go down. Which, like, I don't know if you found anything throughout your research, but the only thing I've found reference to is in a book called The Secret World of History by Jonathan Black, and that's the only reference I've ever found of a bug-like humanoid with a head like that. And apart from that, like, these beings, whatever it potentially could be, like, is just evading any kind of research that I've found.
Yeah, well, before we get into that discussion, because I do have a really interesting theory about what it might be, and that's something that I'll dive in with you shortly. But when you said this thing faded away, is it like it just dematerialized? And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
That would be a perfect description for what it was. It was just like it just particleized, like into, you know, down to the size of grains of sand to nothing, you know. Like, little light just started to just kind of shine through it. Like, it started off in its torso, and then because the lights from the garden were at about that height, that's kind of where my focus was. But yet, almost like it could be operating on the visual light spectrum or the electromagnetic spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. So it looked like it was potentially changing frequencies then.
Yeah, yeah. But there was nothing on it to kind of, you know, it stayed in the position that it was the entire time. So as to how it changed into, you know, just evaporating, I have no idea how it could have done that. Potentially an external source. As we know in the in this kind of phenomenon, like, things seem to have telepathic abilities, but yeah, I honestly have no idea how it just, like, up and boof.
It's a really interesting feature of that entire experience, because it not only shows that there's a sentience to it, but there's some type of intelligence to it as well, to go, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I was saying, it seems just as scared as I was the fact that I could see it, you know. And to just be able to kind of like just completely leave the situation and yeet it out of there. I just don't know how I did it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think you'll ever know how it did it, because, you know, nothing can do that in this world at this stage that we're aware of.
Yeah.
So
I think the only other thing that we could classify along the other lines is probably the Yowie that has been known to kind of do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually going to go into my theory a little bit later there. But just before we get into that, what was your partner's reaction to all of this? Because you said your partner saw this earlier in the night, like, what, 3 or 4 hours before you did. And I don't know if you said it in the conversation here, but in the email you sent me, she thought that she was dreaming that.
Yeah, yeah. So to give a little bit of a backstory on her, she sometimes has night terrors. So for her to kind of wake up and see this thing in the doorway, she kind of dismissed it as a potential night terror and just went back to sleep. So at the time, she wasn't really shaken by it, you know, probably a little bit like, oh, what is that? But it wasn't until the next morning that I kind of told her about my experience that she kind of really, really freaked out, because, you know, it's one thing for her to see it, but for me to see it and experience it, you know, that just puts it in a different category. So she was quite shaken. And then she started going through the process of what if everything I had seen before then was actually real and you just hadn't experienced it.
Yeah, that was exactly right on my mind as well, because if that's real, what else is real that she's seen?
Yeah, well, you know, she's seen demons clawing at the edge of our bed, like at the base of our bed, trying to like pull the blankets down. And, you know, so she's like started screaming and I've woken up and there's nothing there. She's seen old men in hats sitting in the corner of the room. Just all this other kind of terrifying things. And, you know, and then I started running through the, what if it is real? You know, what if all of this is real and I'm just not seeing it and she's the one being subjected to it. And it was only now that I'm seeing it that I'm like, holy shit, all of this is real.
Was that a really polarizing moment for you?
Yeah, yeah. I honestly don't think I've been the same since. Ever since that day, in, you know, 2014, I've thrown myself heavily into this, because, you know, we can understand science in this world, mathematics, physics to a level, but this is a field that we know little about. So it became a huge interest in me to just find out as much as I can to try and explain this. And to this day, like, I'm still searching.
What was the reason to find out more about it? Was it to potentially protect yourself from what you're seeing, or is it more so to just gain a better education of maybe how to handle it if something like that does happen again?
Well, a bit of both, really. You know, when you don't know something about something, you kind of, well, I want to know. I want to know the secrets. But also there's the, you know, I've listened to enough and read enough to kind of know that whatever these things are, a lot of them aren't here with good intentions. And I know we want to have these experiences where they are they are good and they are pretty, but, you know, like one of the avenues I found researching bug-like entities is the mantis beings.
Mm.
And the mantis beings are, they don't sound like a fun time at all. Quite terrifying, honestly.
Yeah, I've actually had someone on the podcast, one person actually, talk about this previously, and it was really, really quite terrifying, the experiences that the woman went through with these mantis-like beings.
Yeah. From what I've read, they have little to no emotion and are fascinated with us because of our emotions and everything like that. So from in the protection side of things, all I found is a strong will. You know, if you can focus on moving a finger or because that's another thing. Like, I don't know if I froze because of my own fear or I froze because it had done something to me to make me freeze. You know, because there are encounters that people do talk about that, you know, I can't move. But yeah. I didn't even attempt to move.
Yeah, so, that's kind of scary just on its own if you really do think about that.
Yeah. You know, not being able to move and in a situation where you're vulnerable just makes the situation even more scary.
Yeah, to see something like that and then to have your own free will taken away from you, that's just two bad scenarios stacking on top of each other. Lockie, what do you think this thing was that you saw?
Well, for all these years, I've kind of been going down the bug-like humanoid kind of avenue, and to this day, that's still how I describe it. But it fits the category of so many other things. You know, the height of a grey alien, the face of a potential reptilian. It could be a tulpa. It could be a djinn. At the end of the day, I'm never really going to know. But all I know is it was 4 foot, had really long arms, 3 fingers, brown or yellow. Couldn't see its eyes, and its face was very tapered. So it could be a number of things, and I'm just going to leave it open to what it could be and just label it for now as a bug-like humanoid.
No, and I think that's fair, because if you start to label this thing, and then you can really go down rabbit holes, because it sounds like you've gone down so many rabbit holes already trying to figure out what this thing could be, and to potentially label it as, you know, A, B, or C, that can then just lead you down a road that you may never be able to come back from, because, you know, you may learn some stuff that you don't want to know, or you may learn some stuff that's not true, and start to have some really negative thoughts about the experience that's already kind of negative.
Ooh, yeah, that's exactly it. And yeah, like you said, I have been down a lot of rabbit holes, and the problem is with this field that there's a lot of unfortunately charlatans out there, kind of saying that I saw this. I did this, and we had this lovely experience. And, you know, when you go back over all the archives, it doesn't meet any of the others, but it still falls in that category because someone's made a story. So to label it in an open kind of sense, it kind of protects myself in the potential of another encounter where I could put myself in danger if I react accordingly to potential strategies of getting out of that situation.
You may find that you looking into it, into certain areas, you know, you may be doing something like inviting it back into your life.
Yeah, well, after I actually emailed you, like, you know, I'd told this story to other people close to me, but I never actually reached out to anyone. Like I've reached out to you before. And it almost seemed as soon as I reached out, I just had all this weird stuff happen. You know, I had time missing. I had footsteps in my room, like at night. And my partner actually woke me up like there's someone in our room, you know. So it wasn't me creating it just because I put out it. Like she's gone, no, there's actually something in our room. And, you know, we flicked on the lights. There's nothing in the room. And again, we, you know, our daughter is now 7. So we brought her into our bed. But then that night, the dreams were just so vivid. And our door that leads outside has this kind of, it's an Indian style curtain. So it's kind of translucent and pinkish, but I just remember standing up to it going, it's outside, and then looking through it and then just staring into these deep black eyes. Now I still put that in the dream category, but you know, like I was mentioning before, like regression hypnosis, I'm not sure that I want to go and do that because I don't want that situation to be real. But you know, that's just one kind of thing that's happened since. And you know, I get up at 3 a.m. to go to work, and I'm out in the fields, and I've started to see lights. Only this morning there was a light in the sky, in, you know, over the kind of over the Adelaide area. And you know, it's 5 a.m. and I'm looking up at this light and going, well, it's not flashing. It's not maintaining course. It's kind of like all over the shop. What is that? You know, so ever since I reached out to you, I've had some really weird things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's exactly like you said earlier, you know, you really got to be careful what you wish for, because this is a door that you can open and close. It's once you've opened the door to this type of world, there's no going back.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, 100%. And sometimes it's not a door that you want to open. As much as you feel like you want to open it, it can be quite terrifying to open and not knowing when the next thing is going to happen.
Do you ever worry that this thing is going to make itself known to you again?
I partly have a feeling that it has. Like I've throughout my time and during the period from 2014, I've done some roles that have put me in some pretty scary situations, and so I can hold myself quiet. Quite well in tough situations. But there's certain times where I'll just be somewhere, and next thing I know, I'm petrified. Like I don't know where I am. Things have changed. And sometimes even my dogs kind of prick up and seem a little bit obscure. So I feel like it is an ongoing thing. It kind of died down a little bit, but as soon as I contacted you, everything just ramped straight back up.
It might be an interesting time ahead for yourself, because I find people who come on this podcast, and not to deter anyone to ever come on here, but you know, they usually find if they talk about this stuff a little bit more openly, that it does kind of stir things up just that little tiny bit.
Yeah. And sometimes that's enough. You know, like it can be the smallest thing. But at this point, and like with everything that's happened to me, you know, I'm going back through my life, and you know, I have people mention, oh, do you remember when this happened? And then I've completely put it out of my mind. And then it's kind of like, well, has all of this been going on my entire life? Like I was telling you before the, like we started recording, like my brother and I experienced another kind of episode where we used to have a door that used to lead onto the balcony, and we were in a two-story house, so no one could get up into the balcony unless they scaled the tennis court fence. And we had the typical Australian screen door that was rather old, so you couldn't kind of, you had to really pull it to open it. And about 11 o'clock every night, you used to hear the screen door like open, and then the inward door, and being an old house, you would see the door handle start to go down. And we'd kind of look out the window. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. But, you know, there's obviously something trying to open this door. And luckily we had a little lock on it. And this particular night, you know, I came to the room and it was happening again. I was like, right, we're going to open this door. And we both played hockey, so we had hockey sticks. We opened this door. Nothing there, you know, and I jumped down onto the balcony, which is about a 2-foot drop, and I'm running around the balcony, and we're up in two stories, and there was just nothing there. You know, I tried to look on the roof, nothing there, down the ground, nothing there, but it was just strange that whatever it was opening this door and we couldn't see it. So it very well could be the same being that I experienced years later, but you know, to this day, like I don't know. He doesn't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because it will really make you wonder how much has gone on in your life that you've maybe just overlooked as, oh, that was a coincidence that happened, or that was weird that happened.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it. That's partly why I'm a little bit hesitant towards going and getting like regression therapy, because, you know, to experience an episode, but then to kind of go, hang on a second, there's all these other episodes that you just don't know about and have just had pushed out of your mind. That's just next level terrifying.
Yeah, and sometimes ignorance is bliss in a scenario like this.
Yeah, 100%, especially with what I experienced that particular night.
Well, Lockie, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing those encounters that happened to you and your family. It is genuinely terrifying. I honestly wouldn't know what to do in that same situation. And I think a lot of people would just absolutely freeze, because I know if I had one of my daughters and I was caught like that, I just would not know what to do. So I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing that with me.
No worries. I hope it, you know, someone else hears this and, you know, potentially has an experience like it and comes forward and shares it, because that's the only way we're going to find out properly what this is.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.